Thank you for joining us here on Signs of the Times. Today our guest is Pastor Barry Stagner, pastor of Calvary Chapel Central OC in Tustin, California. Barry is the host of The Lineup, which discusses world events in Bible prophecy each week. Let's join Barry as he speaks at the Awaiting His Return conference held October 4th in Lee's Summit, Missouri, on this edition of Signs of the Times.
Good morning. Great to see you all, and my hope is that you are encouraged and blessed and strengthened and challenged today. And I'm thankful for that very gracious introduction, but I want you to know God is on the move in California. Probably one of the most exciting things that is happening in what I affectionately refer to as the land of fruits and nuts, is that Gen Z are coming to Jesus. And one of the most exciting parts about that fact is that it's mostly the men who are being saved. So don't throw in the towel on California. I know everybody likes to talk about us, but pray for us. Because God is not finished with any portion of our world. He's still saving souls. Amen?
Amen?
Pray with me, please. Father, we are so grateful for your matchless word. We thank you that it is immutable and therefore applicable to every age, culture, and season of history, including ours today. So equip us, we ask, for the work of ministry, the rescuing of those who are drawn towards death, holding back those who are stumbling to the slaughter, as the Proverbs command us to do. Help us in that, and equip us for that, we pray, through our time in your matchless word. And all in agreement said,
amen.
Now, our world has shared many experiences down through the course of human history, including some in relatively recent years, historically speaking. We've had two world wars. We've had a major collapse of the world's economic system, known as the Great Depression, and followed by the Great Recession in 2008. And most recently, we experienced a pandemic that was truly global in scope, as many people were impacted by COVID, but it also destroyed businesses and families through lockdowns and other things that took place at that time that you're all familiar with. And yet there's another global event that is currently underway that has far more catastrophic consequences than every other global event combined. And that event is the subject of our session this morning. And our title, I'll tell you up front, is a bit of an oxymoron. And I like titles. I like especially those with a double entendre. And today I want to talk to you about the digression progression. Now, digression's meaning is usually negative, and a progression is usually referring to something positive. And I do want to say that I am positive that things are headed in a negative direction today. And I'm sure I don't need to give you any examples of that. But biblically speaking, I want you to consider what we're experiencing today through some of the digression's characteristics. In Matthew 24:12, we're told, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow what? Cold. That's the word used to describe a decaying corpse. In other words, love is going to die in a time where lawlessness is abounding. Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1, know this, that in the last days, what kind of times would come? Are they here? Yes, we are living in just such a time. And part of the reason for this time, Paul would go on to say in 3:13, same book, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Peter would add this in 3:3 of his second letter, knowing this first, that scoffers will come when? In the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And the digression progression that we're watching unfold today is moving the world away from long understood truths and facts. And many people have recognized there are some things that are simply unchangeable, that will be constants throughout history until the generation and season we now live in. And I believe we are seeing the necessary developments of what must precede the tribulation period, and that we are deep into this digression, and the end result of the digression progression is grave. I want you to consider something this morning. Two single events of the Great Tribulation are going to kill 58% of the world's population. And if the rapture takes a billion people, that means 4.75 billion people are going to die in the span of 7 years. And that's only two of the events that are going to come upon the world. Now, the message is going to get more cheerful as we go, I hope. Now, how close is the world to these cataclysmic events? Lawlessness abounds all around us. Natural, familial love and affection has died in many. Perilous times have come, and the root for the word of perilous means to let down from a higher place, or a digression is what is intended by that word. And we live in a world today full of imposters, men posing as women, deceived by gender dysphoria, and the church is filled with rapture deniers, millennium scoffers, anti-Semites, and those who prefer fables over apostolic doctrines and facts, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. But I need to remind us all this morning that just as the digression progression precedes the tribulation, so does the great escape. We are looking for that moment and twinkling of an eye where we will be in the presence of the Lord and be there forever. Today works for me. What say you? Yes. Now, we are, however, experiencing at least the beginning of the digression progression. And thankfully, we don't have an appointment with God's wrath, and we must be removed for the lawless one to be revealed. Now, the word digression actually means a deviation or a detour. It can mean a diversion or a departure or simply straying from the point. It can be translated or defined rather as going off on a tangent, getting sidetracked, drifting, rambling, wandering, meandering, and all of these things are appropriate for the age in which we now live. And it is a fitting description of our world. And on top of that, we have this mass defection from truth prophesied by Paul to Timothy happening in the church today. Now, just a couple more things and we'll start the message. We're almost there. You know, the introduction is long, but the good news is my message is even longer. Now, Matthew 24, we're told in 36 to 39, in the heart of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, even if they're from South Africa. Not even, some of you know what I'm talking about. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And Hebrews 10:25 adds this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour. Hebrews says we can see the day approaching. Is this one of those famed biblical contradictions? Not at all. Because Jesus went on to say, in spite of the fact that no one knows the day or the hour, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And that can well be described as kind of a business as usual type of attitude, marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling, in spite of the clear evidence that the world is in the midst of a major digression. The clear and impending signs of judgment, the earth filled with violence, the thoughts and intents of man's heart being only evil continually, and the whole earth being corrupt before God, as Genesis describes the days of Noah, means nothing to many people today. But let me ask you something, and then we'll get going. Are our young people being indoctrinated by the education system today?
Yes.
No question. Have you heard of a young person going off to college after being raised in a Christian home and regular in church attendance who comes home from the university or college an agnostic or an atheist? Is anybody else hearing those stories? Now, do we just roll with it? Wait and see what happens? Or do we get in the game and do something about it? Yes, we need to be proactive in this. We need to be involved in this. And it's been said that if you're fighting on any other front than the one currently under attack, you're not really in the battle. Our kids are under attack. And we need to launch a counterstrike. And that's what I believe we can do together today. Now, I will say, now that we're getting ready to start, this is not a traditional message. We're going to receive a bit of an education collectively together this morning, and we're going to learn some things that will allow us to engage the younger generation and respond to their, well, the professor said, and we'll be able to answer with a refutation of the things that we are hearing from their voices. Remember, Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and his primary target of late has been our children. The younger, the better. So what I want to start with today is talking to you about the importance of the creation narrative to our beliefs and how denying it or replacing it has impacted our world and even created the atmosphere we now live in. Now, Colossians says in 1:16-18, for by him, what are the next two words? All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, say all things, were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That Greek word can be translated as held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence or supremacy. Now from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find either the word creation, you'll find creator, or you'll find created. And the reason I want to point that out is, listen this morning, God wants credit for creation. He wants to be acknowledged as the one who spoke all things into existence. And there are things regarding the creation narrative that led to and were the cause of things becoming as we know them today. And it's outlined for us, I believe, very clearly in Romans chapter 1. So, you ready to start? All right, let's go. Romans 1:18-23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Now, the they and them in our text is not a pronoun group. It represents the unbelieving world. And by this, Paul gives us the cause of the wrath of God, which he describes as the suppression of truth. Because when truth is suppressed, it leads to ungodliness and unrighteousness, specifically the suppression of the truth that he is God and the creator of all things. Now, the commentator John Stott wrote of these verses, quote, the creation is a visible disclosure of the invisible God, an intelligible disclosure of the otherwise unknown God, just as artists reveal themselves in what they draw, paint, and sculpt, so the divine artist has revealed himself in his creation. David said in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Somebody say something out there this morning. Amen. And in Isaiah 6:3, we're told, "And one cried to another," these are seraphim, "and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Yeah, amen. Now, David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The seraphim cry out, so does the earth." Now, is this truth being suppressed about the creation and the Creator today? Are young people being deceived and taught a lie about where we came from and how all things came into existence today? Are we just going to sit around and let it happen, or are we going to fight back? Well, thank you for the volunteer program. We'll have badges for you and uniforms later, so not just kidding. Now, according to American Scientific Affiliation, which is a Christian organization of scientists, a theory of theistic evolution, you need to know that term, also called evolutionary creation, proposes that God's method of creation was to cleverly design a universe in which everything would naturally evolve. Now, according to CatholicFidelity.com, evolutionary creationism is a variant of creationism, which accepts microevolution and macroevolution while retaining a theistic interpretation of evolution. Theistic evolution is accepted, or at least not rejected, by major Christian churches, including Roman Catholicism, some Judaism denominations, other religious organizations that lack a literalist stance concerning the Holy Scriptures. With this approach toward evolution, scriptural creation stories are typically interpreted as being allegorical in nature. Many individuals stress the unreliability of Genesis as a scientific text, believing that God guided an evolution of life up to and including human beings. Now, they support that from a book known as Second Opinions. You can't find that in Genesis. Now, I think most of us are familiar with the term survival of the fittest. And if we follow this basic idea that God initiated a single cell and through gradualism everything else evolved from that, the first problem is that there was death before sin. If only the fittest survived, then that means they have defected from the creation narrative of Genesis and replaced it with this allegorical thought that there was life before Adam and Eve for billions of years, forcing their own interpretation into the text. Now, the Bible is very clear, and I don't know why there's so many gymnastics, interpretive gymnastics, about the creation narrative. Some people say, well, a day is an indeterminate time period. No, a day is interpreted in Genesis 6 times as an evening and the morning. And it needs no other interpretation. It's talking about 6 literal 24-hour time periods in which God created everything and then rested on the 7th day. Now, listen, if your God cannot speak all things into existence in 6 night-day cycles, you're not believing in the God of the Bible. Our God is all-powerful, amen? And whatever he says, it's going to happen. And he can speak everything into existence in the time frame that is given to us in Genesis. Now, most scientists today drop the theistic part of evolution and just stick with what they call gradualism or materialism. But apart from the unnecessary incorporation into the creation narrative of evolution, the cause of the digression progression today is from rejecting the first sentence of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And listen, much of the world doesn't believe this today, and much of the church has added to this today and inserted theistic evolution. But the reality and the problem that's created from this is something I'd like you to jot down if you're a note taker. If you're not, write it down anyway. And that is, the creation narrative is essential to establishing objective truth. The creation narrative is essential to establishing objective truth. Now, an allegorical approach to the Bible is very dangerous. And you know why? No, you don't. I don't either. I was asking you. No, the reason is, who sets the universal standard where everybody applies the same allegory? I mean, if there's not one source where all allegories of Scripture are interpreted, then that leaves everybody up making up their own, or having one source, a pastor or somebody, tell them what the passage means. Now, the fossil record bears no evidence of the millions of transitional species necessary in evolution. No one has ever witnessed macroevolution, a change of kind. Even microevolution is a misnomer. All they're talking about is variations within a single species. And therefore, with that lack of evidence, you can pretty much say whatever you want to try and make the evolutionary process seem valid. Well, this actually violates the rules of scientific investigation. Scientific investigation, according to all the disciplines of science, requires that any proposition or theory must be observable, therefore objective. It must be testable, which would be the fruit of being observable. And it also must make predictions. In other words, this leads to or causes that. Well, let me read to you again the Bible's proposition of where we came from. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heavens, there's space, and the earth, there's all matter. And how much time did it take him to do all that? I'm sorry, it's not a trick question. We went over this about 10 minutes ago. How long did it take him to do all that?
6 days.
6 days, night, day cycles is what's recorded for us. Now let's ask the question, according to the scientific rules, is this observable and testable? Well, we already established the heavens declare the triune nature of God. In the creation consists, like God, as a three-part being or three members of the triune Godhead. We see creation consists of time, space, and matter. Now, does the creation narrative make predictions in the scientific sense? Well, in Genesis 1:24-25, God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was what?" So let's test Darwinian evolution. The Bible says animals gave birth after their kind. Are cats still having kittens? Dogs, puppies? Goats, kids? Cows, calves? So animals are still producing offspring according to their kind, just as the Bible predicted that they would. Darwin says there is of necessity millions of transitional species were involved in the march from molecule to man. Does the fossil record show millions of transitional species? Thank you. Anybody over here want to get in on that? No. Now, since there is no observable proof, then something needs to explain, and by the way, that phrase means make something up, in order to fill the void in Darwinian evolution's narrative. Enter what's called punctuated equilibrium. Now, that's another term that we all need to be aware of. And because the fossil records does not bear up to Darwinian evolution, and the evidence proves that it didn't happen because it couldn't happen, the belief of punctuated equilibrium is that between long periods of no change, suddenly there are giant leaps forward in the evolutionary process. In other words, something that one day was crawling on its belly, the next day it was flying through the air. Now, this is, or as they refer to it, called punctuated equilibrium. It's not part of Darwinian evolution, because Darwin believed there would eventually be transitional species fossils that would be found. Well, they weren't, and they're not going to be. Newsflash. Now, Stephen Gay Gould, and Niles Eldridge made up punctuated equilibrium in 1972. It wasn't because they discovered evidence of this, but rather the evolutionary model doesn't work without it. Now, you've all heard of the Big Bang Theory, right? And the basic premise is first there was nothing, then it blew up. I don't even get that. Do you? First there was nothing, then it blew up. And I've been amazed at listening to Richard Dawkins defend this, that nothing created everything. How can that be? Well, especially when you know the real story. I know the one who created everything, and I hope you do too. Now, I'm sure most have heard of a common ancestor belief of the evolutionists that we all come from a single cell that was created billions of years ago. Now, I want to show you a slide and kind of walk you through it because I think it's one of the most important things that we need to recognize. We're all familiar with DNA, right? Deoxyribonucleic acid. And, you know, it's an interesting, this picture you see on the right-hand side is called a double helix. And it's got two legs to it, the blue. And then in the center where you see the letters ATTA, CG, GC, those are called hydrogen bonds. And they link together the two legs of the double helix. And the curious thing about this, in my mind, as far as the evolutionary debate goes, is that what you have with these letters, the TA, the CG, those are called base pairs. And in the base pairs, thymine will only link to adenine, and cytosine will only link to guanine. And it doesn't matter which side of the leg you will see these nucleotide bases found, but they will only link to T to A and C to D. And again, it's curious that evolution talks about this single cell developing into all the complex things that we see today, and they happen by natural circumstance. Now, for you mathematicians out there, it is believed that what's left over from the Big Bang is 10 to the 80th power of elementary particles floating around in the universe. And then they start bumping into each other and sticking together, and that's how life began. That's how the planets were formed and these other things. Now, let's walk through this a little bit further. We'll totally pop the balloon of evolutionary thinking. And you can share this with your child or friend or neighbor that comes home and says, well, the professor said, well, it's interesting about this thymine adenine connection, the cytosine guanine connection, because they do make up the double helix and they form what are called genomes. Now, again, you know, you might say, well, if there's four of these elementary particles that become nucleotide bases floating around in the universe, that's only four things that have to self-arrange. So, you know, that could happen. Four things could bump into each other and stick together in this manner. There's only four, right? Do you know how many of these base pairs are found in one genome? 3 billion. There'd have to be 3 billion accidental attachments. Now, the other thing, these nucleotide bases all have ports, and they all have to be met with the matching port in the leg of the double helix or the hydrogen bond. So I want you to know all this for one special reason. It's cool. And it totally blows gradualism out of the water. Listen, if you have to self-arrange 3 billion pairs in this specific order, 16.4 billion years isn't anywhere enough time, like they claim is the age of the universe. You guys all on board?
Yes.
You ready for the test afterwards?
Yes.
All right, get this in your noggin, because this is important, because this is what's being shoved down our kids' throats, that nothing created everything. Now, if you believe in the Big Bang, you believe the principles of an explosion, therefore, have to apply. And that is anything after an explosion will basically separate and head in opposite directions of the core explosion. It will expand, but it will also decelerate. The longer from the initial point of explosion, the slower it will go, right? That's logic, right? So are you guys on break already? Listen, lunch is a long time away, so don't be thinking about it yet. Now, Listen, so logic says that when something explodes, it's going to expand and simultaneously decelerate. Now, this has long been thought of the universe. However, Quantum Magazine says what might be speeding up the universe's expansion. And the discrepancy between how fast the universe seems to be expanding and how fast we expect it to expand is one of cosmology's most stubbornly persistent anomalies. Listen, if you have a stubborn, persistent anomaly, you need to change your thinking and switch back to Genesis 1:1. And cosmologists base their expectation of the expansion rate, a rate known as the Hubble constant, on measurements of radiation emitted shortly after the Big Bang. This radiation reveals the precise ingredients of the early universe, and cosmologists plug the ingredients into their model of cosmic evolution and run the model forward to see how quickly space should be expanding today, yet their prediction falls short. When cosmologists observe astronomical objects such as pulsating stars, exploding supernovas, they see a universe that is expanding faster with a larger Hubble constant. And listen, I've heard the universe, you know, and the expansion of the universe and how they measure it and all these things throughout my 35 or 40 years of existence or so. And, you know, when this broke, when this story broke, that the universe isn't actually slowing down like an explosion would, it's speeding up. The first words that came to my mind were, "But God." You know, he's looking down at all of these false teachings that are being crammed down our kids' throat. And I like to see him saying, "Let's speed that thing up and see what they do." He could, couldn't he? Well, it's defying the laws of physics. An explosion and the debris field should expand and decelerate. And yet we now know the expansion of the universe isn't slowing down at all. It's denying physics and it's speeding up. And another issue that demolishes the Big Bang theory that has also had something made up to fill the void is something called dark matter and dark energy. Now, dark is basically code for unknown, invisible stuff. Now, after the 2020 report that dark matter had been found, Forbes magazine ran this article. "Sorry, astronomers, practically all of the universe's matter is still missing. So it's great that we found the missing baryons," and baryon is just a phrase or a word that represents subatomic particles, "on the missing normal matter, but that doesn't teach us where the remaining 85% of the universe's mass is." So in other words, 85% of the matter that should be left over from an explosion the size of the Big Bang is missing. That's the heart of the real dark matter problem. Oh no, there's a different problem there. But it does involve the heart. And it's not where the dark baryons of the normal matter that we don't directly see. And instead, the real question is, what is responsible for the majority of the mass in the universe? Well, I can answer that. God is responsible. Amen? Amen. Now, nobody knows what dark matter is, and nobody knows where it is. But it has to be there for the evolutionary model to work. And the same is true for dark energy, the residual energy from a blast large enough to begin the march from molecules to man would have to have left an energy field much greater. Some say 94% of the energy field is missing. But it has to exist because, again, the evolutionary model requires it. Now, the point of all this is that the only thing that is observable about the theory of evolution is that the theory is the only thing that's evolving. It keeps changing. Now, in contrast, we see that we read the same creation narrative that Moses wrote. We are reading the same creation narrative that David read. We're reading the same creation narrative that Paul read. It hasn't had any additions or subtractions or any changes. It has always been observable and testable, including, and still is, including this. Genesis 1:27, a very popular verse among the LGBTQ, or the alphabet crowd. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." Read it out loud. "Male and female, he created them." Is that still true today? Well, wait a minute. What about all these other genders? Well, get this. This is a website called medicine.net. And the title of the article is, what are the other 72 genders? And it asks the question, what is a gender identity? In today's age, one does not need to fit in with regards to their choices, including their gender identity. Gender is no more regarded as a binary concept where one can either be male or female. It has emerged as a continuum or spectrum where one can identify themselves as any of the gender identities. And the term gender identity means how a person identifies himself concerning their gender. Now, you got to hear some of these. I was tempted to read all 72, but I know Dr. Hiscock needs to get up here too. So listen, here's just kind of a cross section of some of these ridiculous gender identities that they have created. Today, in addition to male and female, there is aerogender, also called Evaeus gender, and that gender identity changes according to one's surroundings. Here's one of my favorites, affect you gender. This is based on the person's mood swings or fluctuations, how they affect you. Kale gender, the gender identity, this gender identity. Shares the qualities and aesthetics of outer space. Well, you ain't kidding. Now, here's another favorite, gender blank. It is closely related to a blank space. And I'm thinking whoever made all these up has a blank space located between the two ears. Now, here's another, mirror gender. Changing one's gender type based on the people surrounding. Now, listen, the digression progression caused by the denial of objective truth and the anybody's guess approach to the lack of objective evidence of what the majority of people believe has led to the gender dysphoria we see today, where anyone can be what they think or what they feel they are. Now, we know the truth. Yes. Gender is genetically predetermined through chromosomal arrangement. And I have to say, as I put in my notes, I have every time I mention the chromosome arrangement at position 23 in the chromosome chain, I always put XX and XO. XX and hugs and kisses. No, it's not XO, it's XY. So as I was going over my notes last night, I thought, I better check that. Sure enough, XX, XO. So it's not XO, it's, I'm thinking of my wife when I put that, obviously. Now, listen. The physiological and chemical properties specific to gender are predetermined by our genetic arrangement. And nothing has changed genetically or chemically by a man putting on a dress. Now, I want you to think about how ridiculous this is. And I'll point it out through a very ridiculous example. Imagine a man that's 5'6", and he decides to put on the clothing of Shaq, who's 7'1". And yet the man, the 5'6" man, believes in his heart that he's 7'1". Is the outer clothing going to expose the reality? Is he going to look 7'1" in those clothes? No, he's going to look like a 5'6" guy wearing 7'1" clothes, right? Well, the same is true with a man putting on lipstick and a dress and long hair and all the other things they do. And there's one thing that's going to expose them every single time. Adam had one, it goes right here, right? And amongst other things, but we won't get into that this morning. You can ask Dr. Hitchcock what I meant by that afterwards. Now, this delusional world is demanding and even threatening punishment for not agreeing with one's gender identity. And this just popped 3 days ago in England, which is a total mess. You guys quit talking about California, start talking about England, would you? Because they're a mess. And they now are issuing, and I watched a video of two constables issuing a notice, a community protection notice, to a street preacher. And the community protection notices, or CPNs, are designed to stop a person age 16 or over, a business or organization, from committing antisocial behavior, which spoils the community's quality of life. These two constables told the pastor, "You cannot preach the Bible because it is offensive to some in our community." Gee, I wonder who's behind this. Who wants to shut the mouth of the preacher today? Now, when people started believing a theory and accepting, promoting, and defending it, in spite of there being no evidence of it, the digression progression was launched, just as Romans 1 says. Now, we're hearing a lot about grooming today, specifically the grooming of children. And grooming's been going on in the United States for over 100 years on the subject at hand. People have been groomed to believe things that are contrary to evidence. They've been groomed to believe that theory can cancel and override truth. People have been groomed to believe a man's word over God's word, and feelings elevated over facts today. And here we are. We are digressed to a world where we are experiencing what Isaiah prophesied of in chapter 5, verse 20. Evil and good have exchanged definitions. Now, one thing to remember as we think about the progression of the digression is that it didn't happen overnight. Many of the manifestations of the digression progression popped up suddenly in recent years, but the grooming took time. Now, the point is this. All of this is in preparation for the tribulation. The tribulation doesn't last long enough for these attitudes to develop during that time. It's taken a while to groom the world to be so blind that they hate God to the degree that they worship the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ. Now think about what Revelation 6:15 and 17 says. "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man," in other words, all that language means everybody, "hid themselves in the caves and then the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks," I don't want to skip over the fact that during the tribulation, people are talking to rocks, "fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Remember what our opening verses said? Although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. And here we see the end result of that. They know it's the great day of his wrath. They know it's the wrath of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. And yet, who do they cry out to? Mother Earth. And we're seeing that happen today. And remember, the word worship means to prostrate and submit. They're bowing to this gradualism and this materialism that's been shoved down their throats. Now, before the tribulation, earth dwellers have to be so delusional that during the tribulation, they'll cry out to the earth instead of the one who made it, knowing he is the one causing all that is coming upon the earth. Romans said they profess to be wise, but they are actually fools, because all evidence says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody say something out there. Amen. Now, let's finish off with our time this morning, looking at the balance of Romans 1. In 24 to 27, we're told, "Therefore, or because of all that we read earlier, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." And by the way, that word creature can be translated as the act of creating, which I would parallel with evolution. The act of creating, the actions associated with it. "Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." Now, Here's where not having a unit of measure by which we can determine objective truth and facts is going to lead to. When divine creation is denied, moral decency will be the casualty. When divine creation is denied, moral decency will be the casualty. I only need to mention two recent dates to prove this. Though there are a myriad of others historically, and names could be added to this, but I want you to think about two dates. October 7th, 2023, and September 10th, 2025. And in comparison to major departures from moral decency in the past, there were, by comparison in these recent events we mentioned, relatively few people involved when you hold them up against the Holocaust or the murder of Stalin or Mao Zedong. Now, the reason that these two dates are significant is the aftermath. One day after the slaughter of innocent Jews by demonic terrorists, the world began to turn against Israel. Also, September 10th, look at this picture taken only seconds after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, celebrating the death of somebody who wanted a dialogue and to agree to disagree agreeably with those who saw things different. During the October 7th, 2023 attack, Hamas terrorists used the cell phones of the victims to make phone calls to their families in Gaza. Some of the calls were recorded, and terrorists bragged about killing Israelis and celebrated the attack. In a chilling call released by the IDF, a terrorist is heard telling his father, "Look how many I killed with my own hands. Your son killed Jews," and the terrorist claimed to have killed 10 people. The terrorist family in Gaza was heard celebrating his actions. His mother is heard saying, "Oh, my son, God bless you, and I wish I were with you," while his father responds with, "God is great," and the terrorist describes himself as a hero. The terrorist made the call using the phone of a woman whom he had murdered, and he told his father that he also killed her husband. He urged his family to check his WhatsApp for documentation of the massacre. Demonic. There's no other way to describe it. And the demonic Hamas terrorists were raised to hate. The man celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassinations was not raised in that same atmosphere, but he has been taught to hate anyone who doesn't think the way he does. He lives in an era where the truth has been abandoned and it's been replaced with fables and fantasies, and where thinking differently from others is viewed as hate. Do you know that there are people at the university level who are teaching students that words are acts of violence? They are equal to physical violence. Whatever happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I guess that's out the window today. And this guy was raised in a time and a culture where believing the Bible makes you a bigot or a homophobe. People who don't care about other people's feelings. Well, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, you guys still here?
Yes.
"Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, the apostasia, comes first," that's to defect from truth, "and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." Same chapter, he goes on to say in 7 and 8, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Come get us, Lord Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
And I think we often limit the falling away, which means to defect from truth, to biblical things. And I think we need to broaden our understanding to include biological and genetic things as well. Now, I know it's early, but you guys want to hear something gross?
Ready.
I'm glad everybody's on board because this is gross. I was watching a doctor tell a Senate panel that biological men can have babies. And the senator asked, "Well, how are they delivered?"
Right.
You ready for the gross part? The doctor said, are you sure you're ready for the gross part? The doctor said they're called butt babies. Now, that's not all. The senator said, you can't be serious. And the doctor said, with all due respect, Senator, I'm the expert here. My first thought was, no, you're the idiot there, because that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Please note the proximity of the defection from truth to the revealing of the lawless one. And while there's no real indication of the time, it seems as though once truth is defected from and moral decency is dead, there's no further for mankind to fall. And we see this in the digression presented in Romans, where 24 to 26 of chapter 1 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lies we read earlier, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God gave them up to vile passions, and what we read a moment ago still applies, women and men. And then in 28 to 32 it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, now having given them up twice, he now gives them over. He gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Is that happening today?
Yes.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, is that happening today?
Yes.
Sexual immorality,
yes.
Wickedness,
yes.
Covetousness,
yes.
Maliciousness.
Yes.
Are people full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful,
yes.
who knowing the righteous judgment of God, just like we saw in Revelation, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The digression progression has an end. And I believe if we haven't reached it yet, we're pretty close. We see in Romans 1:28 that after having given them up to uncleanness and vile passions, he gives them over to a debased mind. And then this is followed by a long list of what debased minds think and do, including the practice and approval of those things that God has prohibited. Now, the National Congregation Study says more churches are accepting gays and lesbians. And you know, this transphobic and homophobic thing is just such a ridiculous label to throw on us. I'm not afraid of homosexuals, and I'm not afraid of transsexuals. I'm afraid for them the same way I'm afraid for all liars and thieves and cheats and any other garden variety sinner. I'm afraid for their souls. And we should all have that. And yet, a new survey of American religious congregations conducted by researchers at Duke University and the University of Chicago finds that in recent years, many churches have become welcoming to openly gay and lesbian couples. Now, these findings parallel broader trends showing greater acceptance among the general public of both homosexuality and same-sex marriage during roughly the same period. And there's a little chart here that shows the growth between just the six-year period of 2006 to 12, jumping from 37 to 48% who allow people who are of a same-sex leaning to become members, and then also from 18 to 26% to allow them in a leadership or volunteer leadership position. Things are changing. And the Pew Research Center's Religion and Public Life Report contributed funding to the study, which involved interviews with a clergy person or other key member of some 1,331 congregations around our country. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis said only 20% of Americans say the Bible is the literal word of God. And you wonder how we got to where we're at today. And listen, when God has denied his creator of all things, the standard by which moral decency can be defined becomes fluid, which leaves everybody doing right in their own eyes, or what is right in their own eyes. This is catastrophic to mankind, because man apart from God is wicked. Come on, fess up. Man apart from God is wicked. And people like to say today, you know, people are basically good. God says, no, I took a survey. There's none good. No, not one, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Why is there none good? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thankfully, there is a gift from God in the person of Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. Now, for those of us who've been around for a while, I think we've all said, I don't see how things could get any worse. And then they do. But you know, there is an end to that. At least for those living during the end of the church age, which I believe we're at. And as Paul wrote to Timothy that we alluded to earlier about these perilous times, in 2 Timothy 3:1-9, he said, they will come. And then he says, here's what makes them perilous. Men will be lovers of themselves. Now, we can prove that that's true by one thing. Selfies, right? Can you imagine? You know, I was thinking, you know, we talk to our grandparents or our great-grandparents and you know, look at some of their old pictures, you know, and they're in military uniforms or, you know, taking a picture with some famous military person or some great accomplishment that the world experienced together. And now 50 years from now, when you're flipping through grandma's pictures, she's going to say, this is a picture of me taking a picture of me in the bathroom mirror. I mean, that's what we're seeing today. Or here's a picture of my breakfast. I mean, think about, I take pictures of food and send them to my wife, but that's different. No. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Listen to how similar it is to the list in Romans 1. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form, that word is morphosis, it means to create out of something that previously existed, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. In other words, there is an end. For their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. Theirs being Jannes and Jambres, the Egyptian magicians that imitated the miracles done through Aaron in front of Pharaoh. And theirs was an effort to belittle the God of Israel, which is exactly what's happening today. And the folly of that pair was evident to all, as will be that of those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the gospel. They will progress no further. The majority of our world is already willing to kill the most innocent among us, the unborn child. Much of the world is willing to kill those who believe differently than they do. And again, all of this is in preparation for what is coming in the tribulation, specifically under the rider of the red horse. Now, the rider on the white horse of 6:2 in Revelation 6, we're told, brings a covenant in his hand, symbolized by the bow in his hand. And he brings a pseudo-peace to the earth. Now, we know that because the rider on the second horse, Revelation 6:4, on a red horse, he went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. In other words, this will impact many. And the word kill means to butcher or to slaughter. It's the same word that would be used to describe an animal sacrifice. This mentality has to already be in place before the tribulation begins, or at least well developed at the time of the rapture. Denying God as creator removes any obligation to a greater power than ourselves, and the consequences are catastrophic. Debased and delusional minds. Are we there yet? Now, I told you the message was going to get better or cheerier in the end. And that what I was referring to is the last sentence. All this tells us Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. Amen. So listen, let's be more proactive in combating the things that our friends and family are being indoctrinated with at the educational level. You need to have these conversations. When somebody says, well, the universe developed itself, hey, take them to the double helix. Say, that's just dumb. There's not enough time. And besides that, it's an impossibility. It couldn't have happened. Let's not just say, you know, well, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. Well, tell them why. Because it's D-U-M-B. It's dumb. It's illogical. It's impossible. It didn't happen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Father, we are so blessed by your word. We believe the entirety of it is truth, as Psalm 119 reminds us. So, Lord, I pray for a boldness over these here in this room today and those watching online, that we could not be silent about what is consuming the hearts and minds of our children today, but that we would stand in the gap, and we would do so by the power and authority in us through the guarantee of our inheritance in the person of the Holy Spirit. Give us that boldness to walk in these last days in an appropriate manner, standing fast, having done all to stand. For we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So help us, Lord, to speak the truth and do it in love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
That's all for this week's edition of Signs of the Times. Be sure to join us next week when Pastor Mark returns to us here on Signs of the Times on WIAM 101.1 LPFM.